Good morning, guys. Always a blessing and a privilege to be able to minister and speak to men. That is the heartbeat of our fellowship. That is the blessing is that we are in a fellowship of men. You know, we just got out of the men's rally a few weeks ago. Nothing like that. A tremendous preaching challenge to us to be men of God in this generation. Tomorrow, get to hear Pastor Scott Lamb. I mean, not tomorrow. Monday, the men's discipleship. I'd encourage you all to be there also tomorrow at church. We're going to get God-filled, amen, this weekend. So I'd encourage you, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Nehemiah 4, 10 through 20. I want to preach a short message on the trowel and the sword. Out of this portion of scripture, many of you are familiar with this portion of scripture. It's Nehemiah, and he's going to rebuild the destroyed wall of Jerusalem, his hometown. At this point, they are exiled; they are away from the city of where they belong. And there's something in his heart that desires to go back and rebuild this wall that has been destroyed by the enemy. And so many times in salvation, that's how a lot of us come to Christ, is we come and our lives have been destroyed. Our lives have been demolished by either the enemy of our souls or even by our own actions and decisions. Many of us, including myself, I have a very self-destructive nature. Is that if I get into something that can be destructive, then I go full force until eventually I detonate, causing major damage not only to myself, but to people that are around me. We can be broken down many times when we come to Christ. We can be burnt out. And we wonder, how are we going to make it? How are we going to put this mess of a life back together? How are we going to continue to move forward? And sometimes that's the strategy of hell, is to get us to think that we've left so many pieces of ourselves scattered everywhere around the places that we've been that it's virtually impossible to put everything back together. But in our text that we're going to read, it talks about how a city is so full of rubbish, the walls are so full of rubbish that they have no idea how they're going to rebuild this wall. But it takes a man, it takes Nehemiah to stand up and say, no, we are going to do this. And so we're going to read out of Nehemiah 4, 10 through 20. And it says, then Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause this work to cease. So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came that they told us 10 times, from whatever place you turn, they will be upon us. Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set people according to their families with the swords, with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked, and I arose, and I said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. Verse 15, and it happened when the enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. So it was from that time on that half of my servants worked at construction, while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and wore armor. And the leaders were behind the house of Judah. Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that one hand they worked construction and with the other they held the weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded to his side as he built. And one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. Then I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us. Our God will fight for us. The sword and the trowel. I want to talk firstly about the wreckage of a broken life. And like I said, this is the reality of some of us, whether you're a new convert or whether you've been saved for some time. The inevitability of our lives being destroyed by sin. The Bible tells us that there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, that road leads to destruction. And for many of us, that road that we're on when we get saved, God says, you know what? There are some things in our lives that need to change. There are some things in our lives that we need to understand are going to bring destruction to us. And for many of us, that's a process. For many of us to gain that realization that this could lead to destruction one day is a process. And through the Holy Spirit, thank God, God is faithful to deal with certain issues in our lives, deal with the issues that are going to bring destruction and that are going to bring wreckage into our lives, whether that be personally or many of us when we get saved, we are connected to family. And sometimes that family relationship has been destroyed. Sometimes because of the actions that we have taken, that family structure that God has designed, that God wants us to be blessed with, has been destroyed because, let's be honest with ourselves, we sometimes make very stupid decisions. And in our text, we read that the wreckage of a broken life can sometimes be very overwhelming. It says in our scripture, in verse 10, that Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall. You see, God's great hope for each and every one of us is that we can be restored. We serve the God of restoration. We serve the God of the rescue. And He wants us to be restored. He wants us to be built up once again. It's interesting to see. In Israel, if you ever have the chance to go in Jerusalem. So Jerusalem has been built and destroyed many times, has been built up upon each other and destroyed. And in many of the buildings, in much of the construction of Jerusalem, you can see the old burnt down stones that were once part of a great city that now have been reused to build up the city once again. And this is how God wants to rebuild our lives, because what that serves is it serves as a testimony. It serves as a testimony that, yes, once my life was destroyed, once my life was broken up because of my decisions, but God in His faithfulness has rebuilt me. And people can look at that and say, well, what happened here? And your mess, as Pastor Greg has said, your mess can become your message. And you can reach others, and you can reach people that you are connected to, people that once knew you. They can look at your life and they can say, yeah, they were a mess. They were broken. They were, when we first met them, they were messed up in the depths of their sins. But now God has begun an incredible work in them. And that is the hope for each and every one of us as believers in Jesus Christ. And so the strength of the laborers is failing. It's no mistake that the enemy would bring this onslaught of intimidation and wondering, how the heck is this all going to fix? How in the heck is this all going to get put back together? It seems impossible. And many times in our salvation, we can get fatigued. We can get to that place where it's like, man, what am I doing this for? Man, why am I going through this? Why do I keep putting myself through this? The mess is too great. Why continue on? And what an incredible strategy from hell to bring that into our lives when God wants to rebuild us, when God wants to build us up once again and use our lives for His purposes and His glory. What we see as well is that there is the factor of intimidation. In our scriptures, it says in verse 11, and our adversary said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. The minute you stop believing that God wants to rebuild you is the moment that the enemy has gained the upper hand. I remember being in prison, and that was the very lie that the enemy told me. Here I am, my first day on the yard, and I'm there. I had already made the decision in county. I said, God, whatever happens in this situation, whether you release me, whether I get put back on probation, or whether I get sent up, I'm going to serve you. I made up my mind. I made a decision. God, the pieces of my broken life, if you could put them back together, you can have my life. And so here I am. I'm on the yard and I'm praying. I'm asking God, God, you have to help me. You have to help my family at this point in my life. I have a wife and I have a little daughter. She's a year old. And so I'm praying and the devil's telling me, you're not going to make it past this year. I'm going to kill you, first of all, and then I'm going to kill them. Actually, I'm going to do it in the opposite. I'm going to kill them first so that you suffer for that loss, and then I'm going to kill you. And I'm trying to pray. It's an open yard. I was, you know, I didn't get sent up to this, you know. I was thinking, man, you know, I had no idea what prison was all about. All I knew about prison was what I saw in the movies, and I was freaking out, you know. I was like, oh, my God, what is going to happen here? And so, but here I am, I'm, and it's an open yard, and I get there, and there's a few hours before the yard shuts down for the night. And I'm praying, and I'm praying, and I'm praying, and I keep hitting this wall, this literal wall. I can't break through. I can't gain dominion. I can't gain that authority. I'm seeking peace. I'm seeking help, and I feel like I'm fighting this. And finally, I make the decision. I'm going to go back to my room. I'm going to go back to my bunk. I'm just going to call it a night. It was a long day. And I hear music from across the yard. And I hear, and it to me, it sounds like church music because I was raised in church. I understand. I can know the distinct sound of church music. And so I make my way over there, and there's these brothers that are there, and they're having Spanish service. And in the minimal Spanish that I knew, I asked them, I said, hey, is this open for everybody or do you have to sign something? And I said, no, come in, welcome, sit down right here, have a seat. You're welcome. Just put your name here, put your number here. And I did that and I sat down. And during the worship, in the midst of the enemy telling me that your life is so messed up, it'll never get rebuilt. In the midst of the enemy telling me, I'm going to kill you. In the midst of the enemy telling me all the work that you want to see happen, everything that you want God to do in your life, I'm going to kill it. I'm going to stop the work. In the midst of all that, during the worship service, I lift my hands and something broke. God stepped in, and it was a genuine encounter with God. And he says, don't give up. I have your family in my hands. I have your life in my hands. I have your destiny in my hands. It doesn't matter the things that you've been through. It doesn't matter the things that you've done. All the mess that you've created, all the destruction that has come out of decisions of your life, I will fix those. And I will help you rebuild. And that was an absolute defining and pivotal moment in my salvation. When God became real in my life, I knew that I could continue on. And so many times, that's what the devil seeks to do, is he seeks to place this spirit of intimidation in your life. He seeks to place this spirit of the unknown, of the fear of the unknown in your life. But God says, no, I have a plan and a purpose for you specifically. Your mess can become your message. You can be rebuilt. You can be restored. The wreckage of your broken life can be built up again. I want to talk about, secondly, the strategic counter. And so in boxing, this is what I often refer to, is that when you're up against an opponent that you know is better equipped, that you know has better skill, you know, probably more experience, more fights, often the strategy is to counter the attack, is to let them come to you, know the attack, and try to avert it and counter. Right? And so more strength and more energy is wasted on a power punch that misses than actually getting hit. And so this is what the coach or the trainer would tell us, is that you have to be able to read your opponent. And so when you see that punch coming, you slip the punch, you step to the side, and when they are throwing out, you hit back. So number one, they're wasting their energy on the miss. And number two, you're countering the attack with your own hit and taking even more energy from them. And then you have a better chance of winning, even though you are the underdog. Right? In this world, so many of us are the underdogs. In this world, there are so many things that are coming up against us, the temptations as men, right? The sexual temptations, those things that that the devil plays upon in our lives to get us to fall. The pride of a man, right? We are very prideful individuals. You know, we can walk around puffed up, and the enemy will tap in on that and use it against us, thinking that we have all of this figured out. And so Nehemiah, in our text, he says, I will place people in a strategic position. In verse 13, it says, therefore, I position men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And so here he is. He's seeing the situation. He's assessing the situation. And he doesn't just ignore it and say, "Yo, well, you know what? I guess, you know, I know there's problems, but, you know, we'll just see how it plays out." That's probably the worst thing, or the worst way that you can live out your salvation. And let's see how things work out. No, there has to be deliberate things that you do in salvation. The Bible says that he places people at the openings, at those places that were most vulnerable. He placed somebody there with their sword, with their bows. He placed them there ready to fight. He didn't just put them there. Okay, you stand here at the opening and you just wait to see what happens. No, he said, there is a real chance that the enemy can come in through this opening. You have to be willing to fight. You have to be ready to fight. And that is the stance that each and every one of us need to have as men of God. We need an aggressive stance against the enemy. We can't just sit there and be punching bags, right? Because our lives are already a wreck sometimes, most of the time. And there are very real vulnerable things in our lives. And so the Bible is telling us and giving a strategy. Nehemiah is saying, look, we have to place people here. Because what's at stake? Your families are at stake. Of falling and being damaged as well. And so it said he placed them there with their swords, their spears, and their bows. Verse 14, and I looked, and I arose, and I said to the nobles and the leaders and the rest of the people, do not be afraid. Remember the Lord, great and awesome. And so that is another practical thing is that we have to do, is we have to remember the victories, the past victories that God has given us. New convert, seasoned saint in this place. Remember how God had moved in your life before. New convert, when God does something and you know it's God, when he brings you a victory, write it down. Bring it to remembrance so that the next time when the enemy is trying to pick a fight, you look back and you say, God, you helped me here. I know you're going to help me again. Remember the Lord, great and awesome. And not only that, part of the strategic counter is fighting for each other. We're all connected in this together. And it says in verse 14, fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. We're in this together. We need to fight for each other. We can't leave, you know, when you see a brother going through it, encourage them. Raise them up, pray for them. Right? In the Holy Spirit, as we pray and as we're contending on a day-to-day basis, God will place people on your heart. And it may be that you have no idea what you're praying for them for, but you know what? God, you put them on my heart. I'm going to contend for them. I'm going to fight for them. I'm going to fight for their salvation. I'm going to fight for their family. I'm going to fight for their kids, for their home. Because we're all in this together, connected. You know, Pastor Gray, a masterful sermon on the chain. How we're all connected. And if one of us falls, then a lot of people are going to fall. And that is the reality of the text that we're reading, is that in the midst of trying to rebuild this wall, in the midst of trying to protect the city that has been left so vulnerable, in the midst of all that, they still have to remember, we got to fight still. So it's not just a matter of God wanting to rebuild, you doing your part to rebuild your life, you making good decisions to help bring this rebuilding to pass, but it also has to do with fighting. It has to do with standing up and saying, you know what? I'm not going to let my brothers fall. They are depending on me, on my salvation. Some people are looking at me. You know, I'll be honest with you. Can I be honest with you? We're amongst friends, right? Being the pastor here at this, it's so mind-blowing to me. It's such a trip to me that God has placed me in such a place. And there are times where I wonder, and often the enemy comes in and he starts assaulting me. You are so unqualified. You are so not ready for this position. You are so not what this church needs. It's at that moment when I start thinking that way and giving into those thoughts that somebody comes from the congregation and says, I just want to say thank you. I just want to say, you know what, man, you're doing such a great job. And it's people that I don't even expect. And something happens in my spirit. Something happens in me when perhaps the Holy Spirit just mentioned to them, hey, maybe you should say thank you. But it's in such a strategic and timely moment in life that happens, that it's like, hey, thank God. Thank God I'm here. Thank God you're helping me. Thank God that my life is being used. One word of encouragement can go so far. Instead of tearing each other down, instead of competing for discipleship, instead of saying, oh, I could have pulled a better altar call. Instead of saying, look at my outreach. Look how many people got saved here. How many did you get? Well, I think mine was better. How quickly we can get taken away by the assaults from hell. And it damages what God is trying to do in us together. Because there are still people out there that are looking for hope. There are still people out there that are looking to be rebuilt. There are still people out there that are looking for hope. And you and I have it. And when we're bickering amongst each other, when we're fighting amongst each other, when we're competing against each other, they are the ones that miss out. The ones that need it most. And God is saying, remember, the Lord, great and awesome, fight for your brethren, fight for your sons, fight for your daughters, fight for your wives, fight for your homes. And so it happened when our enemies heard this, that it was known to us that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall and everyone to the work. The enemy knows when we're coming against him. And we, as believers and as men of God, God has given us the authority and the ability, the dominion, to silence the voice of the enemy. The voice of that accuser that says you won't make it. The voice of that accuser that says you will not rebuild yourself. The voice of that accuser that says it's over for you. That voice can be silenced when we fight together I want to talk lastly about the God who restores and fight. It's very interesting. And that's why I entitled it the Trowel and the Sword, is because with one hand, the Bible says, is that they built. And with the other hand, they held their sword. They were doing essentially two things at the same time. And how many of you in salvation get so overwhelmed just trying to do two things at the same time? Right? So you think about this. They're rebuilding a wall. How many of you ever done, you know, bricklaying or masonry? That's hard work with both hands. Now imagine these guys are here. They have a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other, and they're rebuilding this wall. Because they understand that if we are going to be rebuilt, we have to still keep an eye out for the enemy and not let our guard down. For the sake of those who are with us, for the sake of those who are rebuilding with us, and for our own lives, we cannot let our guard down. The Bible says in verse 20, wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God fights, or our God will fight for it. And that is the hope of each and every one of us in this place this morning, is that if we will do our part, if we will fight and rebuild at the same time, that there is a supernatural element that steps in and our God fights for us. Our God fights on our behalf. Our God steps in at those most crucial moments in our salvations, those moments when we just want to give up and run away. We have to say, you know what? I have a sword and a trowel. I have a job to do. I have people to protect. God, I have to trust you. And that's ultimately what it boils down to, is us trusting that God will fight on our behalf, is that he will help us, trusting that God will move and change circumstances. It doesn't matter where you're at now. It doesn't matter what you've been doing in your life. It doesn't matter where you come from. God promises restoration. He promises us the victory if we will just simply remember and understand that he fights for us. That is the God that we serve. Is the God of armies, angel armies that come down and take charge over us and help us through these difficult situations. It's not over. Not by a long shot. God still has so much that he wants to do in each and every life in this place. Imagine what could happen in this city, in this nation, in this world, if we as men of God would stand up and take the trowel and the sword in our hands and continue to rebuild. Imagine what God could do when we place our trust in him and say, God, I know you're going to help me fight through this. I know you're going to move. That's our job as believers, because there's so much at stake, but God wants to help us. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Very simple message, but one of hope and restoration. God is with us, and especially in this Christmas season, a lot of times it's the thoughts of, you know, past failures or relationships that have been destroyed or maybe you're away from your children that often bring in this assault, this onslaught of a mind battle and gets us to doubt God and his ability to change and his ability to help us. But the great promise is that God sent Jesus Christ. The Bible says you shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And that is the hope that we have, is that God wants to restore our lives through Jesus Christ, through salvation in His Son. And God wants to restore us to full usefulness. God wants to restore our marriages. God wants to restore our homes, our children. When we link our hearts together, that was part of the strategy, is placing people. And He says, but when you hear the trumpet sound, when you hear that cry, that rally cry, come together so we can come against the enemy. And God fights for us. Remember our God, great and awesome. I want to give an invitation. Perhaps you're in this place and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. You've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart to forgive you, to take away the sins that are dooming you and sending you to a devil's hell. This morning, in this place, you can have a genuine encounter with God. You can know salvation. You can have an assurance that your sins are forgiven. And all it takes is a simple prayer. A prayer of repentance. A prayer that says, God, forgive me. I know I'm a sinner. But I know I can be changed. I know that You can change me. I'm going to place my trust in You. And if you're in this place and you want to pray that prayer, you've never prayed that before, I want you to do one simple thing. And that is just lift up your hand. Raise your hand. All across this place, you would slip up your hand and you would be honest and you would say, God, that's me. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm not right with God. I know I don't have an assurance with Him that my sins are forgiven. I don't know if I would make heaven my home. I see this hand here. How many others would respond with my brother here, who would slip up their hands and you would say, here I am. I need that change. I need to be restored. My life right now is in shambles. It's broken. This morning, the process of restoration can begin in you. But you have to respond. Slip up your hand all across this place. You would lift your hand. You would be honest and you would say, that's me, Pastor. Pray with. It would be an honor to pray with you. Perhaps you're backslidden in this place. Perhaps one time you knew the love of Jesus Christ. Perhaps at once you walked with Him. You had relationship, but for whatever reason, you turned away. How quickly our lives return to that destructive place when we turn our backs on God. But tonight you want to begin, or this morning you want to begin to rebuild again. Lift up your hand. My brother, I see my brother here. You could put your hand down. How many more would there be? You would respond in honesty. You would say that, I see this hand here. Thank you for that. God bless you. God is dealing with hearts in this place. God is making Himself real in hearts and in lives. How many more? Slip up your hand quickly before we change the order of this service. Hallelujah. Speaking to Christians, many times when the onslaught comes, when the consequences of our decisions begin to play out, and we begin to see the destruction start happening in our lives, we must remember as believers in Jesus Christ that our God is awesome. Our God is great. We need to pick up not only the sword, but the trowel as well, and begin to rebuild again those things that the enemy has sought to destroy. These that raise their hand, you raise your hand, you would just look up at me. My brother here, you meant that. My brother here, you meant that. You raised your hand.